Gentlemen, good morning. Until now, throughout the year, we've been dealing mainly with the gap between what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and the regular poskim on a regular day versus special situations that come up. In other words, there's the halachic reality we want and basically have for 364 days of the year. And then there are those special questions that we have to poskin on when they happen. In other words, there's the reality we want, and we actually not only want, but create, versus special situations. So, for example, if you recall around this table, we spoke about the fact that you're supposed to daven mincha before shkia and ma'ariv after tzeita kol chavim, that's the best way to go. But there are special situations, such as when you won't get a minyan, Shabbos is very late in the summer, where perhaps you can utilize various different, I would say, in the vault points of view in halacha for those special realities. So once again, there's a reality we want and we basically create versus a reality that sometimes comes up. Today I want to shift gears, and we'll go back to those examples later, but today I want to shift gears and not talk about a reality we want versus a reality that happens to come up, but rather a reality that wasn't ever discussed. Namely, a new reality that is now part and parcel of life. And yet, when you go back to the classical poskim, they never dealt with it for one simple reason.
Didn't exist.
So therefore, it's a reality and we have to deal with it. What's the primary example of such a thing?
Cell phones.
You can't go ahead and say, really, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, in the Mishnah Berurah, there's no such thing as cell phones. No one has a cell phone. Oy, we have a cell phone, so we have to deal with it. Who was going to say that? Cell phone is now part of life. Now, it's a cell phone with many questions. First of all, can you daven with a cell phone in your hands? We dealt with that around this table. Second of all, can you use a cell phone on Shabbos? Can you use a cell phone on Yontif? Fourthly, if you're a doctor, how do you use a cell phone in cases where you need to? All those questions are a new reality. So today we're going to deal with a new reality that did not exist until recently. And what reality is that? As you all know, the world is divided into two kinds of people. Korea?
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Okay, that's one way to divide it.
Jew
and non-Jew. Now, you can subdivide Jew and non-Jew and say girls and boys, Jews and non-Jews, men and women. Then you can go ahead and say, wait a minute, if I go into the halachic poskim, there's a third kind of category. There's a Jew, there's a non-Jew, and then there's what's called Zera Yisrael, or in English, half-Jewish. What does that mean? You're not Jewish al pi halacha, but there's Jewish ancestry somewhere in the family, usually a father, father Jewish, mother not, or maybe even behind that. As you know, in Israel, we have the law of return, which doesn't say that if you're Jewish, you can make aliyah. It says if you're Jewish, you can make aliyah and become a citizen, plus
a grandparent.
Grandparent, father. Basically, it was an antithesis to the Nuremberg laws of the time. Yeah. So, in halacha, there is a large chunk of literature about how do we relate to such people with nafkaminas lahalacha. Do we go ahead and be more lenient in their conversions? Do we go ahead and say if they touch wine, doesn't make it non-kosher because perhaps, and goes into a whole thing of why? So there is a category like that called Zera Yisrael. So there's Jew, there's non-Jew, and I'd say half-Jewish. Today I want to talk about a fourth category that only exists in the last, I would say, maybe few decades. And that is a convert on the way to conversion. What we call in Hebrew, betahalich giur. Now what does that mean? What do you mean a convert on the way to conversion? He's not Jewish yet. He didn't do a bris, or perhaps he did a bris, he didn't do a halachic bris yet. Hatafat tambrit. He didn't do anything. What do I mean on the way to conversion? So let's take a step back. How do you convert to Judaism? I need a Yevamot Bavli. This is a Yerushalmi. Can anyone get me a Gemara Yevamot Bavli b'vakasha? Daf Mem Zayin. Anyone know? How do you become Jewish? Hi, I want to become Jewish. What do?
You go through conversion.
You go through conversion. Thank you. What's conversion?
For guys,
very simple. it's milah. You have to do a bris. If you're medically circumcised, it's called hatafat dam brit. You're poked in that area. Next.
Tvilah.
Going to the mikveh. And thirdly,
Kabbalat
mitzvot, accepting upon yourself all the mitzvot. That's okay, mem zayin. So, that was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to convert people that want to convert. All of us went through conversion at Ma'amad Har Sinai, and all the laws are learned out from Ma'amad Har Sinai. Within that spectrum, if you're a lady, obviously there's no mila, there's only tvilah, going to the mikvah, and Kabbalat mitzvot. You need to have a beis din, probably for all of these components. We won't go into what happens if you don't. Thank you so much. And therefore, this is the way conversion was done throughout the generation. Stuff Mem Zayin Amud Aleph in Meseches Yevamos says like this: Ger Shebali Kayer Bezman Hazeh. Nowadays, a convert comes. What do I mean? Nine nowadays. We'll deal with that some other time. There's one component all of you didn't say, that is that a ger has to bring a korban, but we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. You tell him, Ma'araita Shabbat Alid Gayer, why did you want to convert? Don't you know the Jewish people? No one likes us. It's very hard to be a Jew. You tell them the truth. And if they say, no, I still want to be Jewish, I know all of that, what do you do? Says the Gemara, everyone ready for this? Mekablin oto miyad. Translate.
Immediately.
Umodim lo mitzat mitzvot kalot u mitzat mitzvot chamarot. You give them a crash course in which you tell them a few of the hard mitzvot, a few of the easy mitzvot. Everyone around this table can think to themselves this evening what's hard versus what's easy. We won't go into that now. Umodim oto avod nekech chicha u peyal maserani. You tell them about the laws that have to do with deal with your pocket because being Jewish is expensive. And umodim oto on chantzon mitzvot. Then you tell them there's a charva onesh, this reward and punishment. And after you do that, you go ahead and what? You tell him the following, that there's an olam haba, we believe that you're going to get your reward in the world to come. And finally, you go ahead, malinoto miyad. Anyone? You give him a bris mila immediately, and you wait till it heals. Ve'matpilinoto miyad. Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, everyone Paskin's the Gemara. Beautiful. Basically, what is, am I talking about, based on this Gemara, about someone on the way to conversion? We just said the word miyad three times. Correct?
Yeah.
What's miyad? Today, a convert wants to convert. We're talking about a lengthy process sometimes. Forget about how long it takes, but it's not miyad. So what's the Gemara talking about? Obviously, the reality has changed. Once upon a time, you wanted to be Jewish. You knew what it meant to be Jewish. You saw the Jewish community in the ghetto, in the shtetl. You knew what it meant. And you said, I want to be part of these people. So you got to learn them from the side. And finally, you went to the Beis Din. You knew exactly what it meant to be Jewish. You had it in your mind. You knew about tefillin. If you didn't, you got a crash course. You knew about Shabbos and Yontif. You saw the way the Jews were. Today, we're living in a reality, in a society, where, quite frankly, you cannot look at a Jew and say, okay, this is the way a Jew has to act, because there are many kinds of Jews out there. Not everyone is keeping all the Torah and mitzvahs. Therefore, today we have a new thing, a new reality. It's called the Tahalich Giyur, conversion process. What is a conversion process? A person comes along, says, I want to be Jewish. You follow the Gemara, you tell them, hey, don't you know there's anti-Semitism? Don't you know it's hard to be a Jew? The whole thing, they say, no, I want to still be a Jew. So you start teaching him in a conversion course. What do you start with? Maybe Jewish belief, Ma'amad Har Sinai, we got a Torah, it's from God, it's divine, you can't change it, the Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebichtav, the Shlosh Esrei Karim of the Rambam, what you have to believe in. Then you start telling him, this is the way we celebrate Shabbos and Yontif. And this is the fast days of the year. And then this is how you keep kosher. Toch kedei all of that, a convert comes along and starts hopefully fulfilling what was preached. So they start keeping Shabbos. That's a big life-changing thing. They start keeping kosher. That's way life-changing. Toch kedei, they tell their parents, I want to be Jewish. I can no longer come to your dinner table. I have to come, but I have to eat on a separate plate. Or I have to come and make some sort of arrangement. You have to kosher the home. All these things take time. Now, they're in the middle of all of this. This is our question today. Once again, with all this background in mind, new reality. A convert was on his way to conversion. He already was on the way to conversion in the sense of he had a date at the Beit Din, The Beit Din knew who he was, and he just had to do one thing. Kabbalah mitzvos in front of the Beit Din. Namely, I accept upon myself what? Anyone ever been to a Beit Din and knows what happens? Okay, beautiful sight. Beautiful sight. I advise everyone to see it once in their life. It's what the certain stream in Judaism calls reconfirmation. For them it's confirmation, for us it's reconfirmation. It's beautiful. They say, do you accept upon yourself the biblical mitzvot? Yes or no? Up to you. You're a non-Jew, you have a right to say no. Next. Now what's next?
The rabbinic
mitzvot. You accept the rabbinic mitzvot. Yes. Next. Minhagim, the good customs of the Jewish people. We're very careful to say good customs. We don't want to keep the bad customs. Next. You understand that, sometimes, you understand that it's reward and punishment, yes, you accept upon yourself one God, yes. And then they say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. And we say Mazel Tov, beautiful sight. Now a convert was on his way. He began to keep mitzvot. He began to keep Shabbos and Yontif. Whole question if a convert could keep Shabbos, we'll get to that later. Yontif, kosher, fast days. He's basically living like everyone around this table. And lo aleinu, before he was able to get to his bris milah, he was already medically circumcised, but he didn't do a tafat dam brit, enter the mikvah, he died of cancer. Where do you bury him? Where do you bury him?
Special section.
So let's look at the beginning of the source sheet. It's very simple. The Gemara in Yevamos, I quoted earlier, one daf behind, Memvav, Taval velo mal. If a person went to the mikvah but didn't do bris milah yet, a convert, or mal velo taval, did bris milah and didn't go to the mikvah yet, which is usually the order because in order for many reasons, but I'll just suffice it to say, if a person needs to do a circumcision, he has to wait till he's actually healed from it, because if not, it's a chatzitza and he can't go to mikvah. So once that's taken care of, but he didn't yet go to mikvah, so he did a bris milah, he didn't go to mikvah, or he went to mikvah, he didn't do a bris milah. Ain't no gear! He's not a convert. Ad sheyimol v'yitpol. He has to do both. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Reish Samech Tchet Seif Bet. You don't have to be a rocket scientist for this. It makes perfect sense. Now, just to make it very, very clear, from this Gemara, it's very simple. I'm sorry. I wish this guy would become part of the Jewish people. He was on the way. But fact remains, he is not Jewish. If he's not Jewish, he's not Jewish. Therefore, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Bet, and again, don't have to be a rocket scientist. What's the nafkamina that he's not Jewish?
He's Christian.
Everything. Not that he's Christian. Maybe he's not Christian.
No, whatever.
Well, whatever. Very simple. Nochri and Mizamnim Alav. He's sitting at your Shabbos table. He already did Bris Milah, let's say. He didn't do yet the mikvah. He didn't finish the conversion process. He's on the way. Bris Milah done. You don't say, hey, who ate bread here? One, two, oh! Mr. who did Bris Milah without the mikvah. You want to be the third? He's not Jewish. He can't be part of the Zimun. Gemara explains why. Until he goes into the mikvah and finishes the conversion process, he is a non-Jew. So based on these two Gemaras, no rocket scientist, you got this question with all the empathy and the sympathy involved. What would you say? He's not Jewish.
His local priest is going to say he is Jewish.
But wait a minute. That's exactly the point. Says Dr. Sevier, wait a minute. I understand this guy is not Jewish. I got it. He didn't do Mila and Tfilah. He didn't do everything. As a matter of fact, he didn't do any of the two. On the other hand, can you say he's not Jewish? Can we find a middle category where a person did not yet come to Kedushas Yisrael, to the sanctity of the Jewish people, and yet is no longer a Goy, is no longer a non-Jew, is no longer a Gentile? Is there such a category? Or is that category doesn't exist? The Gemara here in Yavamos, Brachos, hey, either you do it all, well, you're still not Jewish. It's your God-given right to be not Jewish. But you're not Jewish. Sorry that you started to keep Shabbos and Yontif and fast days. Sorry you passed away. Wonderful person, good person, wonderful heart. But non-Jewish, you remained. Or do we say, wait, there could be a situation where you're not Jewish yet. True. But I can no longer call you a non-Jew. Yeah.
if his father would be Jewish, or he would be a Bnei Noach, or his kids would be Jewish? Because does that change
no.
anything?
What about Mekaba or Machush Shemayim?
Again, we'll get to that, but we'll see. So says the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein was known for his empathy and sympathy. He was definitely one of the humblest men in the world. If you ever saw a picture of him, he was very short. Yeah. If you ever hear him speak, he also spoke like a Nebuch. And he spoke like a Litvak Nebuch, because every shin became a sin. Rasi, and etc. Okay? An amazing man. What he went through for his Piskei Halacha is beyond comprehension. Some of them were the Chumrah, some of them were the Kula, like every good Posek, who's balanced. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, as follows, B'noch Rishamal, really Gerut V'lo Taval Umet, person did Bris Milah, is now recovering and died. And he didn't yet go to Mikvah and finish the conversion process. V'rotzim achadim l'shikvru, and they want to bury him in the Jewish cemetery, because let's think about it, this guy's been living with us for the last year. He's been coming to shul, been at our Shabbos tables. This guy's been, met one of us, in every which way. Yontif, it might be a problem to invite over a non-Jew, so we, let's say, didn't do that. Let's say, we found a heter for that. Whatever it is, he died. He was one of us. We want to bury him with us, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. The following.
Because that's guy been so Jewish that on his deathbed, he discovered his mother didn't halakha.
Okay, convert. That's not the situation here. Hine, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, all the sympathy and empathy, ha, Pashut! What's Pashut mean? Simple! Grunstein, you're giving a whole shiur. I don't know where all these makoros come from. Simple! What's simple? Shebelot vila, av shekfar malin en uger, umi mele en likovro bikfurat Yisrael. He did not finish his conversion process. He's not a Jew, as of yet. Sorry. You don't bury him in a Jewish cemetery. Avalinir echiyuv ala rabbanim li lachem beze. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein something interesting. See, Rav Moshe Feinstein comes to a psak halacha, he says, you don't bury him in a Jewish cemetery. But, he says, I'm not stupid or naive. I know what's going to happen. You're going to go back and tell the family, we can't bury him in a Jewish cemetery because he didn't finish the conversion process. Now, this is a person, a Nebuch, and I say a Nebuch, my heart goes out to him, and this was a true case. The man was on the way. The man had a beis din the week later. He just didn't make it. God took him back. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, I know what's going to happen. You're going to say this, and they're all going to go nuts. They're saying, what kind of rabbi is this? He's heartless. So he says, the rabbis don't have to fight about this. He goes on to say why. He goes, they want to bury him there, they can bury him there, but they should know, due respect, he's not Jewish. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. Why did Rav Moshe Feinstein say not to fight about it? If this is the halacha, and it's such a terrible thing to bury a non-Jew in a Jewish cemetery, how come Rav Moshe Feinstein said don't fight about it? I want you to keep that in mind. If by the end of this series you get an answer, great. If not, remind me. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no rocket scientist. Hey, sorry, he's still a non-Jew. Finished. There's no middle category. There's Jewish, there's non-Jewish, he's not Jewish. We don't bury a non-Jew in a Jewish cemetery. Finished.
Why don't we do that? Why is it such a big deal?
Why is it such a big deal? We will have to get to it. We'll take a step back later and find out. But suffice it to say for now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there's four ways that a Beis Din can put you to death for capital crimes. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that each of the capital crimes have a different punishment. There's Herek, Chenek, Mita, and Skila. And you don't bury those that have capital crime to the second power with those that were killed with capital crime to the first power. You separate them. En Korin Tzadik El Tzarasha. So therefore, you have separate cemeteries. Those that died this way are killed this way. Those who are killed this way. The Gemara from there learns, well, that's the way it should be. So we have separate cemeteries for Jews and non-Jews, because Jews keep 613 commandments plus many rabbinic commandments plus customs. Non-Jews keep seven separate cemeteries. Plus, you can go on further and say, all right, you can bury the Mizrahi guys who believed in the state of Israel with one cemetery, and those that didn't believe in the state of Israel with another cemetery. Everyone can decide who's a tzaddik, who's a rasha. You can go on and on and on and keep on doing it. But for our shiur, we're going to say that in a normative Jewish cemetery, Jews are in, non-Jews have a different section. And by the way, the Gemara is very clear, and we'll get to this later, that you do bury non-Jews. You have to take care of the non-Jews, both in terms of financial support, tzedakah, and in terms of burial. But the normative psak halacha is not bury them in a Jewish cemetery, but look after their burial, wherever it might be. So, Moshe Feinstein says, hey, sorry, he's not a Jew. Come to Shutz Gan Aharon and says as follows, Rav Avraham Volk.
So would you, if you have a non-Jew, you run across a body, we know if it's a Jew, the primary thing is to bury him. Obligates you from all the mitzvahs. Would that happen with a non-Jew also?
I believe so. Even though the Pasuk does say, Lotanin leave the Torah la'etz regarding mitot beitin, and we learn from that for every Jew, maybe you can say with non-Jews you can keep him for a few days, whatever it is. But even with Jews, if it's lechvodo, you can keep him for a few days, waiting for family to come in, etc. But suffice it to say, for our share, you bury the non-Jew. Not in a Jewish cemetery, but you bury him. Yes?
What about a soldier whose father is Jewish?
Okay, we're going to get... Okay, I know where the question's going. I know where the question's going. I know where your question's going, Rabbi Lewis. I know where your question's going. We will get to it. I promise you. I know where your question's going, and that's exactly the shear here. People that are not Jewish al pi halacha, but have connected themselves to the Jewish people. I mentioned the case of a guy on the way to conversion. You can mention the case of a person who's fighting in the IDF for the Jewish people. And the list goes on and on and on. This is a new reality. Our ancestors did not deal with someone fighting in the IDF for the Jewish people. Fighting against them, yes. Fighting for them, very rare. So now, let's see. Shutze Kan Aharon. Shutze Kan Aharon. Says as follows. Shini Rav Aaron Vogel or Volgen. Rav Aaron Volgen was his name. Okay? Again, he's living in a new reality. Shenit Yahadava Ita Shomer Shabbatot Hashem O Mitzvot. A person that became, what's Nit Yahada? So we say in the Megillah says there Rabbi Me'ameh Haaretz Mit Yahadim. Becoming Jewish, or to be more precise, the Jewishing themselves. So they're Jewishing themselves slowly but surely. What did we call that? A conversion process. Okay, they started to keep Shabbos and the mitzvos. V'divrei atzamot v'zakatam, and they even kept the fast days. Wow. Ela shelo nitgaya b'fnei beistin v'gam lo tavla b'fnei shlosha. So she's keeping mitzvos, but she didn't yet do the actual formality of the conversion process. Ela shabal shehu adona chamla k'tzat mitzvot v'onashim v'gam achar sha'imod hitvila otam l'shem girut ha'im tzirich lo'tziyah mikivra shelo tireh imeta Yisrael kivan she'na nechshevet b'chlalam. So what happened? This person died. She didn't yet do the formality of the Beis Din, and she died. They buried her in a Jewish cemetery. And the question of Aaron Vogel was asked, or a Vogelman, was you have to take her out of her grave and bury her in a non-Jewish cemetery. Says the Shutz Kan Aaron, V'yuzot ha-shifcha, acharei sha-hayta kavanata le-mitzvot gerut, ve-liba le-shamayim. She wanted to convert to the Jewish people. After all, not only was she keeping Shabbos, because Shabbos is fun, there's chulent, there's kugel. She was fasting on the fast days, for God's sakes. She was on the way, says Rav Aaron, kvar kanta mekoma, ve-en lo tzia mikivra, shelo yom ru ha-goyim, גם כן כך עושים ישראל לגרים, ואומה זו אינה ראוי להתחבר עמה, והתורה ציפתה בכמה מקומות על אהבת הגר. Says the Shutz Kan Aharon, once you've buried her, am I even dealing with the question of, should you bury her? Says, once you buried her in a Jewish cemetery, don't take her out. Why? Two reasons he gives. Number one, she wanted to become Jewish. Well, you know, many people wanted to make Aliyah. I could write a book of, you know, something funny happened to me on the way to the airport. Many people want to do many things. They want to go to shul. They don't make it. They want to make $1 million. It didn't happen. But, says Rav, the Shutz Kan Aharon, she wanted to be Jewish. Point positive. She didn't just say, I want to make Aliyah. She bought a ticket. Point positive. She didn't just want to convert. She's keeping the mitzvot. Two, imagine what the goyim are going to say, the non-Jews. Imagine what they're going to say. Look, this person wanted to convert. And what did they do with her? Bye! Get out, we don't even bury you amongst you. So don't take her out. So we have Rav Moshe Feinstein saying, don't bury her in a Jewish cemetery, but don't make a big deal about it. And we have now the Shutz Kan Aharon saying, if you already buried her, leave her there. Why? He said, I want you to think about it. Why? If the halacha is the halacha, out, put her somewhere else, with kavod, with dignity, but take her out. Now you're going to find a source you're never going to believe. When I saw this, I fell off my chair. There is a Gadol b'Yisrael that hated everyone. the Munkacher Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Why do I say a Godel B'Yisrael? A Talmud Chacham he was. You can even see footage on YouTube of the Minchas Elazar, or as he's called in his circles, the Minchat Luzel. The Minchat Luzer, the Rav Eliezer from Munkach, the Munkacher Rebbe, or as they call it, the Minkacher Rebbe, was filmed in 1933, I believe, in Munkach, at the wedding of his daughter. And they told him, this is a video, it's going to go to America, do you have anything to say to the American Jews? Now, what would you do? You're living in Munkach, impoverished. What would you say? You would say, my taya bride in America, my dear brothers, don't you know we're living here? We're so impoverished. Can you send us some money? What do you think the Munkach Rebbe did? You could see it on YouTube. Put in Munkach Rebbe, 1933. He started to scream and yell at the Jews in America, keep Shabbos! It's not enough to go to shul. Imagine this. It's not enough to go to shul in the morning. You have to keep the whole Shabbos. Because Jews in America at that time, for whatever reasons, and we won't go into it, had to work on Shabbos. Felt they had to work on Shabbos at least. They went to shul in the morning. That's how the Ashkama Minyan started. There wasn't the B'nai Torah that wanted to learn after davening. It was Ashkama Minyan, so you can go to shul, make Kiddush, and go to work. And he said, keep Shabbos! I respected him very much after that. Now, he hated everyone. He hated the Zionists. He hated other Hasidim. He hated everyone. He just hated the social. He hated the communists. He hated the Zionists. He hated everyone. There's a very, 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 very cute way of. I won't even go into it. The Rosh tables he had. But to make a long story short, he hated everyone. Now this man was full of hate of everyone. Anyone that's not a Munkach or Chassid hates Israel. Hates it. No good. But a Godel B'Yisrael he was. He wrote responsible literature. Now imagine with that introduction the following words of the Minchas Elazar. Everybody ready? I fell off my chair. I said, this could not have been written by the Minchas Elazar, what they told me about him. I saw the YouTube. Listen to this. Beger Shemal Veterim Shetaval Niftar Lo Aleinu. A person did a bris milah, didn't yet go to mikvah, and died. You ready? Lo Yisbol Adad Sheyikveu Bekivrei Nochrim. We're on the third column from the right. It is absolutely, how do you say Lo Yisbol Adad?
Can't suffer.
My mind can't suffer it.
Yeah.
It is almost unthinkable, uncanny, that we're going to bury him amongst non-Jews. Shekivan shekibelav b'mesirus nefesh li'kanes tachat kanfei hashchina b'dat Yisrael v'yisurei amila v'chayotze. Not only did he accept upon himself mitzvahs already by the Beis Din, he did a bris milah. Do you know what he went through? Bris milah at an older age, plus he's keeping mitzvot. You can decide which is harder. Al Kain. Chalila! Lehit achzer! What does that mean?
To become cruel.
Laharchiko velushumo ben kivreyakum. To bury him amongst the non-Jews. Ubevadai tzrichim the kovro. Beveit achayim shel Yisrael. And of course you have to bury him in a Jewish cemetery. Wow. Do you know what a chiddush is here? First of all, he goes along and says what you said at the beginning of the shir. There's a Jew, there's a non-Jew, you want to convert, you have to do the three things. If you didn't do it, you're still non-Jewish. No, look what this guy, he already did something. He kept upon, he put upon himself mitzvot, plus he did bris milah. This is already a status, a new status. So you fought until now, there's Jews and non-Jews. New reality, Jew, non-Jew, and?
Becoming a Jew.
How do we relate to becoming a Jew? He says, it's cruel to think, uncanny to think. Look at the words he used to bury him in a non-Jewish cemetery. But in the parentheses, he gives an eitzah. He says, I'll tell you what you should do. You should bury him in a special section. And it doesn't have to be known. Just as he says, Im tzirchim l'archik b'chahai gavna mikivro sham chet amot, go away 8 amot from the Jewish, where the Jewish people are buried, given shall kopanim dine no gerachit po vidino kenoch kaniskar la malat zerich yuna maisa shlo yerekazot. And he says, make a special section a little away. He says, what can you do? Rav Herzog, this is already coming to the 20th century Israel. Rav Herzog, the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel. You have to remember that he was the rabbi, chief rabbi of Palestine and then the state of Israel. Rav Kook did not see the state of Israel, dying in 1935. Rav Herzog and his shud said, Kedushas Yisrael ein ba. He doesn't yet have the sanctity of the Jewish people called Kedushas Yisrael. But, ulai li'inyan kvura, Lo nagu ela mishum tzadik v'rasha v'stam akum l'gabei stam Yisrael k'rasha l'gabei tzadik. Comes Rav Herzog and explains what we needed to know from the beginning of this year. How come Rav Moshe Feinstein said don't scream about it? How come the Shutz Kan Aaron say if you already buried them, it's all right? How come even the Munkacher Rebbe, such a machmir, says it's cruel and it's terrible, we'll make a little neitzah, says Rav Herzog in a beautiful, succinct way. He did not yet come to the sanctity of Kedushas Yisrael, but you can no longer call him what we call in the Gemara a Rasha Eitzel Tzadik. From our perspective, we're not going to call him a wicked man versus a tzaddik, a righteous man. Rasha Eitzel Tzadik in this context means, from our perspective, Jew non-Jew. Now why Jew non-Jew? Because they don't keep mitzvahs, and we do. Well, this guy did keep mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs! So says Rav Herzog, maybe that's why, with regard to burial per se, we can be mekel. Why? Because burial is only a din of, don't bury a righteous Jew by a non-righteous Jew. Or to be more precise, says Rav Herzog, don't bury a righteous person, individual, human being, next to a non-righteous human being, says Rav Herzog. This person's very righteous. ובאופן זה יש לי אפספסה, שאין לה קדושה סיסרוב, מכיוון שהיא בחזקת צדק, מכיוון שהיא עומדת לבוא בחסות תחת כנפי השכירה, ונאנצה! And Kpedo Likova Betok Vurat Yisrael. Says Rav Herzog, because she was on her way to becoming a Jew, and therefore she's a tzadeket. What tzadeket mean? En kovrim tzadek etzel rasha. Let's put it into the feminine. En kovrim rishait etzel tzadeket. She's a tzadeket. She accepted upon herself all the mitzvahs. Says Rav Herzog, maybe you can bury her in a Jewish cemetery. And once again he says, but let's make a little arrangement. And what's the arrangement? He doesn't talk about chet amot. He says, lav davka berichuk makom im lo dalad amot. You should stay away dalad amot. Dalad amot comes from different places in halacha. For example, in a sukkah, if you happen to have an overhang in your sukkah that's pasul schach, let's say in the middle of the sukkah on the side, then if you have 4 amot to the wall, you pretend the wall bends over to where your kosher schach is. So if you think about a car, and the car has a sunroof, you can put schach on top of the car. Now, where are the walls of the sukkah? The walls of the car. The problem is, between the wall of the car and the sunroof, you have pasul schach, the car, the aluminum. Says the Gemara, Paskind and Shulchan Aruch, that if you have 4 amot, less than 4 amot to the walls, pretend the walls all bend over and are under your schach. So we have that from another place in Halacha and other places. He says, same thing here. We'll pretend that they are more than 4 amot is already a big thing, less than that. Go away 4 amot 0.1 and bury them there. But don't bury them in a non-Jewish cemetery. So first of all, Rav Herzog says, burying a non-Jew in a Jewish cemetery is not the end of the world, because it's all learned out from Tzadik Yetzal Rasha. And two, I can't take it. How can you bury this person in a non-Jewish cemetery? Yes, questions.
But if a non-Jew does mitzvot, I mean, are they really doing anything? Because they have no obligation.
So, Dr. Sevier, based on this year, we'll go to it next week, but based on this year, if a person accepted upon themselves in front of a Beis Din to do mitzvot, they're not yet Jewish. Do they have to keep the mitzvot that they just accepted? Let me ask you a different question. Let's say you're a righteous Gentile. You want to keep Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. You want to be what's called in Halacha Ger Toshav. According to some poskim, you have to accept upon yourself the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach in front of a Beis Din. If you go in front of a Beis Din, and you say, I accept upon myself the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, do you have to keep it? Well, first of all, Kodesh Baruch Hu said you have to keep it, but now you already reconfirmed it. So if a non-Jew comes and says, I accept upon myself all the Mitzvot of the Torah, the rabbis, and the good customs of the Jewish people, do they have to keep it? Between that day and the mikvah, let's say the mikvah is a week later, do they have to keep it?
But can they still change their mind?
In other words, we're seeing here, slowly but surely, that the poskim are saying, listen, they're not Jewish. The Gemara that we started with, they're not yet Jewish. The Kedushas Yisrael lo higiyu. On the other hand, you can't say they did nothing. I'll sum up everything we just said in one sentence. You can't say they did nothing, and you can't say they did everything.
Can you put it in the, is it Ramban who says if you do mitzvahs outside of Israel, it's a practice. So they should be, But you really, again, haven't done a mitzvah. That you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, but here you did a mitzvah. You did many mitzvahs.
If you're not obligated to do a mitzvah...
That's correct. So my question is, we know that a non-Jew is not obligated in anything but the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, the seven Noachite commandments. But if a non-Jew voluntarily wants to become Jewish, and he comes in front of a beis din and says, I want to become Jewish, or he doesn't come in front of a beis din, he just starts to keep the mitzvot. Are you going to say, you're still not Jewish? Do what you want.
Yeah, we learn that non-Jews are not allowed to keep Shabbat.
We'll get to that.
No, good
question.
Okay.
We will get to non-Jew not keeping Shabbos. We're going to get to the big, big fight in Yerushalayim over that. You're going to see a fight. You guys are going to think you saw fights in your life. Believe me, this is a fight. You think President Trump versus Hillary was a fight? You're going to see a fight over that. But you have to wait till next week for that. Yes?
In light of Mordecai's question regarding the obligation, one puts on... fulfilling.
Yeah.
Did she do a mitzvah? She has no obligation.
So that's what I'm trying to ask here. You're going to say she has no obligation, or you're saying because they're on the way to conversion, maybe there is some sort of an obligation. We will see that next week more inside, but I am saying now, I want you to think about it. Is there a status in halacha to someone on the way to conversion? We are seeing slowly but surely that the empathy and the sympathy is being translated into, well, they are no longer non-Jewish, but they are not yet Jewish. They're somewhere in between. So let's think about this a minute. I'm just going to throw out a nafka mina. You know that a non-Jew can't cook kosher food for you because we're worried, what? Bishul akum bishum. Why?
A substitute.
No,
not at all. Not at all.
Marriage?
The rabbis enacted that you can't cook the most kosher meal cooked in your kitchen in front of your eyes. You're the one looking at him the whole time. But he put on the fire. He fried up the breakfast. He gave you the breakfast. It's unedible food without cooking it. It's something that people that are dignified that eat, you can't eat the food. My kitchen, kosher food, every heksher in the book. Why? It's called bishul akum in Chinese.
It's
why?
Intermarriage.
Mishum chatnut. So let me throw out a nafka mina here. This wonderful lady is on her way to becoming Jewish. She's keeping Shabbos, Yontif. She's keeping the fast day. She's keeping kosher. She is absolutely on the way. Next week is her date in Beis Din. And I'm not saying do this lechatchila, but by mistake, something happened, and she cooked you something. Are you allowed to eat it?
Sounds like no.
Well, maybe since the whole chashash is you're going to intermarry, and this person in a week will be Jewish, perhaps we'll say, there is no chashash of intermarriage. Maybe. On the other hand, you'll say, lo natnu chachamim dvarhem l'shi'urim. You can't start going and picking and choosing and choosing and picking between the takanos derabanan, but rather, go ahead and say, if there's a takana, it's in all situations. Now I'm going to make the question even more sharper. This person, if I'm going to say, they're not Jewish, on the one hand. They didn't finish the whole conversion process. But they're not Jewish. Does Bishul Akum relate to them? If they touch my wand, does it become non-kosher? Can they violate Shabbos for me on Shabbos and my air conditioner doesn't go on and it's 30 degrees outside and I say, can you please put on the air conditioner? In other words, can we sell our chametz to them? You can go on and on and on. Is there a status in halacha between Jew and non-Jew? So here I just said there is something in the Gemara called Mal Velo Taval. Taval Velo Mal. Gemara was very explicit. Eino Ger. But the Gemara didn't say Eino nothing. He said Eino Ger. So here you see the Poskim beginning to say, wait a minute. They didn't do everything, but they did something. Let's just finish the picture. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, don't bury them in the Jewish cemetery, but don't make a big deal. The Zakan Aaron said, he got the question in the aftermath of very bad burying her, and he said, don't take her out. Rav Herzog and the Munkacher Rebbe both said, you cannot bury them in the non-Jewish cemetery. And look at the words they used. They did something. But in the Jewish cemetery, we'll make a special
section.
I can't say section. We'll make an arrangement. It's not going to be a section. Here are the people in the middle of a conversion process. Big sign. But rather, you more move away a little bit. And let's just finish it. The Shutzur Kesser from Aaron, I didn't know who he was. I guess he was from Saloniki, as it says here. It says, as like, So a guy named Yaakov Pishalom, he was a gvir. How do you say gvir in English? A rich man. I don't think that does justice to a gvir. When we say gvir, we don't just mean a rich man. We mean a very important rich man. So our friend Yaakov Pishalom, okay? So it was a gevaltik, a wonderful Jew, shaita chole, v'chila pnei adonai yigayer, ota v'achusham beitin, v'kibla dat Yehudit, u'meita belo tfila. So he had a servant, a maidservant, and she wanted to become Jewish, and they went to the Beis Din. Now listen to this, she already accepted mitzvot in front of three judges in the Beis Din. And then she died. She didn't go to the mikvah. She didn't finish the conversion process. V'kibla dat Yehudit, u'meita belo tfila, v'imkol ze asula tachrichin, v'aron. They made her tachrichin like a Jew. Shrouds, aron, and then chutz la'aretz you bury in a casket. V'chazara kneset, most importantly, you come to the funeral. Any rabbis being placed today around the world, in most Jewish communities. What's my job? What's the first thing on the list?
Burial.
Everyone wonders why. The answer is very simple. Many Jews are members of synagogues today because they want to be buried in the Jewish cemetery. So far. I hope that doesn't change. So you need to have the chazan there. So let me mention this. You gave her shrouds. Obviously, you probably did a tahara. Two, you made her a casket like Jews. Three, you bought the chazan. The chazan did everything. Tzur tamim po'alo, kemalei rachamim, with the opera, operatic voice. Everything was done. They kavrua toch kivrei Yisrael. And they buried her within the Jewish cemetery. Here we don't hear about four amot, four tvachim, shum davar. Ready? V'chen ora harav haniskar she'yaseh l'shivchat hagvir modeh Hashem yikra'i kosh tegrut ha'memo'adam. The rabbi there said that's what you should do. In other words, the rabbi in Saloniki paskent, the shutzror kesef. If someone's in the middle of their conversion process, already keeping mitzvot, and accepted mitzvot in front of the Beis Din. I say that because it's not just keeping mitzvot. One step further, they accepted it. Then you bury them in the Jewish cemetery. Now, just to throw out another nafkamina, let's see where Rav Bakshi Daron. Rav Bakshi Daron was the chief rabbi of Israel, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel between 1993 and 2003. Bakshi Daron says, here's the situation. A woman and her son are converting. Woman converted. Son had to do a bris mila. Excuse me, didn't do yet the bris mila. And they're waiting to finish the conversion process on the son. On Shabbos, he got sick. But the mother mechallel Shabbos for her son. This is a very delicate question because can you mechallel Shabbos for non-Jews is a delicate question. On the books, no. But then Mishum Darkei Shalom, in the later generations, we said yet. But Bakshi Daron says there's no Darkei Shalom here. This is a mother and a son. Right? It's not like the Darkei Shalom, if I don't save the non-Jew, they're going to kill us. They're not going to save us. Mother and son. Says Rav Bakshi Daron, I have a chiddush. Someone that's in a tahalich giyur, someone that's in the middle of a conversion process, is as if someone that's an ubar, namely a fetus in the mother's womb, that you mechallel Shabbos for. Now that is a chiddush, woo. But we see again. So the whole shiur this morning was about one thing. If someone is in this new reality called a tahalich giyur, conversion process, can you say, they're just non-Jewish? They're keeping mitzvahs. You know what? Let's call a spade hem frayerim. But a bunch of suckers, why are they keeping mitzvahs? They're not Jewish. Let them enjoy Shabbos with their cell phones. Let them eat cheeseburgers and lunch. We see these people are not doing that. They're beginning to train themselves to become Jewish. We see endless poskim that are saying, I can't say they finished. They're not Jewish. The Gemara is explicit. But I can't say they didn't do nothing. And what's the big nafkamina? Where do you bury them? So we see a new reality that never existed before. We started the shiur with miyad, simple. New reality. We today, in every Beis Din, have a conversion process. Now during that conversion process, You can divide the beginning where they do nothing versus towards the end, which is what we dealt with today, where they're doing everything. Where do you bury them? What happens if they touch my wine? What happens if they cook a meal for me? Can you say, non-Jewish, finish. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, no rocket science. But then he added, with regard to burial, don't make a big deal. So there's two components on the table. Number one is someone in a tahalich giyur, in a conversion process, can you say they did nothing, or do you say they did something? Or number two, and number two, and this is very important, do we make a big deal about burial? Do we make a big deal about burial per se? Well, we'd make a bigger deal about Bishul Akum versus burial.
What would you do?
We saw this morning how many people said, accepting upon yourself mitzvot is something in Judaism. Yes, you didn't finish, but you did something. Next week, we will say how this plays out halacha lemaisa in various other areas in halacha, not just burial. We'll see with regard to burial. We'll finish. But we will see other areas in halacha. How does it play out? And we'll start with a very simple question. Someone that did bris milah, didn't go to mikvah, he touches my wine. Is my wine non-kosher? Next week, God willing. Stay tuned.